Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. It's February 3rd, 2020. Welcome to The Quadcast. Here we're going to dive into this past week's most pertinent cancer news so you can get your week started off in the right direction. First up, modern art. So, radiation dose escalation for esophageal cancer is back. Well, sort of, and probably not for long. The Dutch Phase 3 Art Deco trial was reported this past week in abstract form at the annual ASCO GI meeting. In this study, 260 patients with inoperable esophageal cancer were randomized to definitive treatment with the standard 1.8 gray for 28 fractions to 50.4 gray concurrent with weekly carbotaxol times 6 versus the same with a simultaneous integrated boost of 2.2 gray to a total of 61.4 gray to the primary tumor. We here at the Quad Shot feel like the term inoperable was used pretty loosely, as it could be due to anatomic or medical reasons, or even just patient preference, which apparently turned out to be the case in about 44% of the enrollees. Importantly, because we all know that squamous cell carcinoma historically have double the complete path response rates of adenocarcinoma, roughly 60% of enrollees had squamous cell and 40% had adeno, which means that it was a pretty fair representation of both histologies. At a median follow-up of nearly 4 years, the primary endpoint of local progression-free survival was statistically improved with dose escalation at 3 years for neither squamous cell nor adeno. So I repeat, it wasn't improved. Overall survival at 3 years was about 40 to 41% across the board, and more disheartening was the leap in grade 5 toxicity from 4% with the standard dose to 10% with dose escalation. Now, this is in stark contrast to zero reported grade 4 and 5 toxicities on a similarly designed phase 1-2 trial at MD Anderson that we featured in the QuadShot newsletter on September 26th in 2019. So unfortunately, in this randomized trial presented at ASCO GI, thanks to Holshoff, we see no improvement with dose escalation for definitive treatment of esophageal cancer. So what's the bottom line? A modern attempt to dose escalate the esophagus failed to improve survival free from local recurrence, perhaps due to a worrisome number of treatment-related deaths. Up second, indeterminate risk prostate cancer. So let's be honest, it can sometimes feel like that's a more apt term for intermediate-risk prostate cancer. Back in 2013, intermediate-risk prostate cancer was subdivided into two groups, your favorable and your unfavorable. Based on outcomes after dose-escalated external beam radiation, according to the predominant Gleason score, PSA, and volume of disease. But it does bring up the question, does this still hold true in the era of brachytherapy reemergence? Here we have a large single institution retrospective look, thanks to Tom et al. In Brachytherapy 2020, that evaluated outcomes after prostate brachytherapy, performed as monotherapy, among over 1,500 men spanning the gamut of intermediate risk prostate cancer. About half were favorable, about half were unfavorable. All brachy cases consisted of iodine-125 low dose rate brachy, delivering 144 gray plus or minus ADT. As expected, at a median follow-up of 4 years, those with unfavorable risk disease had higher rates of biochemical failure at 17% versus 4%, and distant metastases at less than 2% versus greater than 5%. Perhaps most interesting is the fact that there was no impact of ADT when given in conjunction with brachytherapy. In fact, at least in this retrospective series, outcomes of ADT were considerably worse. The bottom line is, traditionally defined unfavorable intermediate risk prostate cancer has worse outcomes than their favorable counterparts after brachytherapy monotherapy, and none of them seem to benefit from the addition of ADT. Next up, germinating. A big reason the role of B cells in cancer immunity is understudied is that their presence in the tumor microenvironment isn't necessarily a good thing. And that's because when you look at B cells from a classic immunology perspective, they have the ability to suppress T cell mediated anti-tumor immunity. Previously, we've looked at the role of B cell expression in sarcoma, and here we have the publication of two Nature papers, 2020, thanks to Cabrita and Helmick, that look at B cell expression in melanoma and renal cell carcinoma. Here, the authors found that the presence of B cells in mature tertiary lymphoid structures was associated with improved response to immunotherapy and even improved survival. Fascinatingly, not only was the presence of tertiary lymphoid structures prior to the treatment associated with better outcomes, they also found that the development of these structures during immunotherapy was also an important positive predictor of treatment response. So, the presence of B cells in mature tertiary lymphoid structures within the tumor microenvironment likely represents an active, concerted immune response to the tumor that can potentially be enhanced by immunotherapy. Which, of course, begs the question, could that response be further enhanced with B cell targeted activation? The bottom line is, the formation of tertiary lymphoid structures within the tumor microenvironment of multiple tumor types leads to enhanced anti-tumor immunity and improved response to immunotherapy. Up next, coronation. Will the current coronavirus epidemic in Wuhan, China, be crowned the worst one yet? Well, coronaviruses were historically severely underestimated by attributing them to nothing more than the common cold. Of course, this all changed with a highly lethal zoonotic, meaning animal-to-human transmission, SARS pandemic in the early 2000s, with almost a third of those infected requiring mechanical ventilation. After a similarly dangerous zoonotic strain appeared in Saudi Arabia in 2012, the coronavirus finally earned its place on the WHO's Most Wanted list. Last month, history repeated itself with the emergence of yet another pathogenic zoonotic coronavirus outbreak in China. But this time, it took only until January 10, 2020, for researchers to release its full genomic sequence. While the U.S. and other countries have begun screening travelers arriving from Wuhan, the first travel-related case in the U.S. was documented on January 21st. The bottom line is, novel mRNA vaccines and broad-spectrum antivirals are rapidly being assessed in attempts to prevent 2020 from becoming the next deadly coronavirus pandemic year. Up next, location, location, location. This NCDV analysis, published in JAMA Network Open 2020 by Carey, suggests that receiving treatment for head and neck cancer at an academic center, or at least a center with a unified cancer committee treating 100 or more cancer cases per year, was associated with better survival. But a deeper look revealed that the real discrepancy, as oftentimes happens, was socioeconomic means. Up next, the delivery of good medical care is truly to do as much nothing as possible. This large randomized trial, as published in the New England Journal 2020 by Brown et al., looked at patients with newly diagnosed spontaneous pneumothorax, and it demonstrated that when compared to the standard intervention group, a non-inferior rate of lung re-expansion was achieved by doing absolutely nothing. Finally, Special K. It's got special potential in cancer patients. A new study is evaluating rapid escalating doses of a novel intranasal ketamine with expected rapid sustained responses in moderate to severe depression among patients with cancer receiving supportive care at Princess Margaret. This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.